do that 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
Technology is a great leveler
mm-hmm.
of experience and money. And if you can go on a crowdfunding site and raise $1 million, you can become a big player really fast. Now, if large companies aren't careful and approach diversity from a smart perspective,
right.
they can become a extinct part of the business.
Right, absolutely. You know what? I totally agree with that. And I was looking how you do lectures on motivating management and I guess teaching them, because it's almost something they need to learn.
It really is, because, you know, a lot of managers don't view diversity as a profit portion or a success tool for their department or for their organization. So the final chapter of Substance of my book is a book just on motivating diversity. When my editor read my book, she said, "This is wonderful, I love it, but you know, you should write a chapter on how to motivate managers, on how to be more diverse, and how to motivate entrepreneurs."
Right.
So the last chapter of my book is dedicated just towards that. A number of quotes from famous people, successful people, on how they use, you know, their thoughts and ideas and diversity to become successful. And, you know, it's been very impactful, because when you give it that type of approach, not negative but positive, people begin to realize and understand that they've been ignoring diversity and they should really use it for their benefit.
Right. When you were in corporate America, though, did you see this, or were you part of it, or did you witness it? Where did this come from?
You know, the entire spectrum. I mean, I've seen managers totally ignore it. I see managers totally, you know, brush it off. Like, one of the first experiences I had with diversity when it first came out in the 90s
mm-hmm.
was that, oh, yeah, the employee resource group, that's just a cultural food day.
Right.
And here I am, an attorney practicing law in a company that services an entire region, and they view diversity and the employee resource group as a cultural food day.
Hmm.
So I was like, you know,
that's crazy.
Not the way you should be approaching this.
Yeah.
It really is, and it just blew my mind. You know, I think we've evolved since then, and they've evolved since then, but the bottom line is, you know, the evolution is not just based on EEO and affirmative action, which is where most of my efforts were in corporate America. It's on taking this and appealing to an audience that commands $1 trillion, not just in the U.S.
Right.
You know, when you go overseas, it's becoming a much bigger playing field. And I think companies are learning that, because you look at some of the commercials. I mean, if you look at an ATM, ATMs in New York have 10 languages in it.
Right.
So the ATM is now a tool to do multicultural and multilingual business transactions with the customers.
So they basically get it.
Yes, they do.
You know, because they're using that tool to make a profit, and they understand that this tool has to interface with a lot of different people.
That's right. And if they didn't do that, someone would do it faster. If it didn't diversify, they would die.
Right. Right. That's very true. You know, I never really thought about ATM machines, but that is really true, because, you know, it's a multicultural tool for people.
It is. I mean, what do people need? They need money to survive. They
right.
need access to money. And, you know, even if there's no teller there, which now tellers are, you know, becoming less and less common,
right.
the way they can get money in their language provides a source for business for the banks. Now what do tellers, what do ATMs do now? They say, do you want a mortgage? Do you want a credit line? How can I help you with my transactions? Do you want a business line? And the sales pitch now is all on the ATM. And if the ATM can't tell you that in your own language, in your own culture, then the bank is losing money.
Right, right. And I guess you could make the analogy to a corporation in the same way, that they would be losing money if they can't show that they're part of the community, they're going to lose money.
Exactly. I mean, for example, Ford rolled out a car called, we all know the Chevy Nova, right?
Right.
Well, in Spanish, Nova means no go. So when they rolled out the Nova in Latin American countries, no one bought the car, because who wants a car that can't go?
Oh, really? That's very interesting. You would think they would check it out in all different languages, you know, just because, you know, that's what I would do. I mean, if I was going to, you know, put something out there and I was a big company, I would definitely check out a name in all different languages to make sure that it was, you know, not something bad in another language. Just that would be my thought process.
Well, you have an enlightened